Hello, this is Ramesh Rubin. I'm a professional trainer and a consultant in accounting, auditing and risk management. Public sector accounting in Malaysia is currently going through a major transformation as the government moves from modified cash accounting to accrual accounting in 2015. With the adoption of the Malaysian Public Sector Accounting Standards, or MPSAS, starting with the federal government. One of the key areas of concern with this transition is the accounting for property, plant and equipment, or PPE, of public sector entities, which was discussed in the latest edition of Accounting and Business Malaysia. In this podcast, I will share on an area that is closely related to accounting for assets, which is impairment. Specifically, impairment of non-cash generating assets, which is unique to public sector. Unlike the private sector, the public sector is likely to have two types of PPE, those which are cash generating and those which are non-cash generating. The accounting treatment for impairment of cash generating assets is rather similar to that which is applied in the private sector using IFRS-based accounting standards. Under the MPSAS framework, impairment of cash generating assets is covered by MPSAS 26. As for impairment of non-cash generating assets, the accounting requirements are covered in MPSAS 21. A non-cash generating asset is basically assets other than those held with the primary objective of generating a commercial return. Impairment is defined as a loss in the future economic benefits or service potential of an asset, over and above the systematic recognition of the loss of an asset's future economic benefit or service potential through depreciation or amortization. Impairment, therefore, reflects a decline in the utility of an asset to the entity that it controls. For example, an entity may have a purpose-built military storage facility that it no longer uses. In addition, because of the specialized nature of the facility and its location, it is unlikely that it can be leased out or sold, and therefore the entity is unable to generate cash flows from the leasing or disposing of the asset. The asset is regarded as impaired, as it is no longer capable of providing the entity with service potential. It has little or no utility for the entity in contributing to the achievement of its objectives. An entity shall assess at each reporting date whether there is any indication of an asset that it may be impaired. If such an indication exists, the entity shall estimate the recoverable service amount of the asset. An impairment loss of a non-cash generating asset is recognized when the carrying amount of the asset exceeds its recoverable service amount. A key task when determining impairment, other than being alert for the indicators of impairment, is determining the recoverable service amount once an indicator has been identified. The recoverable service amount is the higher of an asset's fair value, less cost to sell, and its value in use. It is probably worth to note that it is not always necessary to determine both an asset's fair value less cost to sell and its value in use. If either of these amounts exceeds the asset's carrying amount, the asset is not impaired, and it is not necessary to estimate the other amount. Now, the real distinct part in accounting for impairment is not so much the fair value, but the determination of value in use. Value in use of a non-cash generating asset is the present value of the asset's remaining service potential. MPSAS 21 sets out three approaches to determine this. Firstly, depreciated replacement cost approach. Under the depreciated replacement cost approach, the replacement cost concerns the cost to replace the gross service potential of the asset, which is depreciated to reflect the used condition of the asset. This depreciated replacement cost reflects then the present value of the service potential of the asset. The second approach would be the restoration cost approach. The restoration cost concerns the costs that are necessary to bring service potential of the asset to its pre-impairment state. The present value of the asset service potential is the current replacement cost for the asset minus the restoration cost. And lastly, the third approach is the service units approach. Now, under the service units approach, the current present value of the remaining service potential of the asset is determined by reducing the current cost of the remaining service potential of the asset before impairment to conform with the reduced number of service units expected from the asset in its impaired state. The choice of the most appropriate approach to measure the value in use depends on the availability of data and the nature of the impairment, such as follows. Impairments identified from significant long-term changes in the technological, legal, or government policy environment are generally measurable using a depreciated replacement cost approach or a service units approach when appropriate. Now, impairments identified from a significant long-term change in the extent or manner of use, including that identified from the cessation or near cessation of demand, are generally measurable using a depreciated replacement cost or a service units approach when appropriate. And impairments identified from physical damage are generally measurable using a restoration cost approach or a depreciated replacement cost approach when appropriate. Thank you.